Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Luke Mayville of Reclaim Idaho speaks to Andrus Symposium about threats to the Citizens Initiative process. Former Idaho lawmaker files formal complaint about Trump's partisan messaging on U.S. Forest Service website. And Spokane police arrest man accused of setting homeless man on fire. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. St. Joseph's Regional Medical Center in Lewiston is on lockdown because of a threat made against a family member of a patient. People can still enter and leave the main hospital's north entrance and must show identification when entering the building. The hospital announced the lockdown on their Facebook page before 10 a.m. today. Hospital Marketing and Communications Director Desiree Silva said they are working with authorities to resolve the matter. Spokane police have arrested a man suspected of setting a homeless man on fire under a downtown viaduct last month. 39-year-old David Karn is in critical condition at Harborview Medical Center after a man he knew as Dupree poured a flammable liquid on him and then lit him on fire September 17th in Spokane. Karn ran and flagged down police. Investigators found a lighter, a torch made from an aluminum pipe, a rag, a plastic bottle filled with holes in the top that contained an accelerant, and burnt bedding at the scene. According to the Spokesman Review, by Friday of last week, Karn was aware enough in his hospital bed to pick a photo out of a lineup of six photos as the man who set him on fire. Police found the man, identified as 57-year-old Dupree Meadows, walking on 3rd Avenue and arrested him. Meadows is charged with first-degree arson and first-degree assault and is in jail with a bail set at $100,000. A statement by the Spokane Police Department says, working with very limited information, detectives worked tirelessly to identify Dupree. Due to the severity of his injuries, the victim could not provide much information to investigators. With assistance from the Seattle Police Department, enough information was gathered to confirm Dupree's involvement in the incident. Once identified, Spokane Police Department patrol officers began a search for him, resulting in his arrest in the area of 3rd and Florida on Sunday. Former Democratic Representative Todd Achilles of Boise, who resigned in July to run for U.S. Senate against incumbent Republican Jim Risch, has filed a complaint with the U.S. Office of Special Counsel over overtly partisan messaging regarding the U.S. government shutdown. At the top of the U.S. Forest Service website, which remained as of this morning, Achilles argues U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz violated the 1939 Hatch Act by displaying the following message on all Forest Service website front pages, quote, "The radical left Democrats shut down the government. This government website will be updated periodically during the funding lapse for critical mission functions. President Trump has made it clear he wants to keep the government open and support those who feed, fuel, and clothe the American people," unquote. The 1939 federal law limits certain political activities of federal employees, and some state, District of Columbia, and local government employees who work in connection to federally funded programs. One limitation is the use of federally funded program resources to proliferate partisan politics. Achilles argues this limitation extends to digital infrastructure. In his complaint, Achilles wrote, "The Forest Service is the largest land manager in Idaho, overseeing roughly 40% of the state's land. Since 1905, the Forest Service has managed these public lands for the benefit of all Americans, regardless of political identity. Aggressively partisan political messaging on federal agency websites constitute not only a violation of the Hatch Act, but also a violation of the nonpartisan standards that all Idahoans demand of Forest Service employees. The Trump administration and House Speaker Mike Johnson have alleged the so-called radical left Democrats are to blame for the shutdown. Republicans have a 219-213 majority in the House, and it would be a 219-214 majority, but Speaker Johnson has refused to swear in newly elected U.S. Representative Adelita Grijalva of Arizona, a Democrat. With a 53-47 majority in the U.S. Senate, assuming they can persuade members of their own party to fall in line, Republicans have carte blanche to pass laws and budgets, but that would involve repealing or suspending the filibuster rule in the Senate. Democrats say they believe Trump and his allies have no interest in reopening the government at this time, although they do, with the caveat that the government replace the $25 billion in Affordable Care Act funding that Republicans repealed with the so-called Big Beautiful Bill that Trump signed in July. You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP, Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. Available online at loveskombucha.com.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Luke Mayville of Reclaim Idaho, who helped spearhead three statewide initiative drives, including the successful 2018 Medicaid expansion initiative, told those attending the Cecil D. Andrus Symposium in Wehrle Saturday that the initiative process is under attack in Idaho and across the nation. Here's Luke Mayville speaking at the gathering.
Even as we work for progress on all and a whole range of issues, we also defend this basic process we have, this ballot initiative process. Because had it not been for that process, we never could have put Medicaid expansion on the ballot. The legislature never would have lifted a finger to make that happen. Since 2018, one red state after another has expanded Medicaid at the ballot. And let me just tell you about something really tragic that happened a few days ago, one thing we learned. In Florida, they were working on becoming the next state to put Medicaid expansion on the ballot. They had a campaign for November of 2026 to put Medicaid expansion on the ballot, but they announced that they're calling it quits for now, at least. They might try again in 2028. But for now, they're folding up their campaign because, not because they didn't have the support they needed to, you know, win or to put it on, to you know, have the volunteers or anything like that, but because their legislature changed the ballot initiative rules and made it too difficult for them to put Medicaid expansion on the ballot. It's important to understand the stakes of that. In Idaho, there are still 87,000 people benefiting from Medicaid expansion who wouldn't have otherwise had health care. Even with all the attacks on Medicaid, it still stands with 87,000 people getting health care through that program. In Florida, the number of people without health care who would be covered if they expanded is 1.4 million people. But because they pretty much dismantled their initiative process or made it a lot harder to put things on the ballot, those people are going to be left without coverage. In Idaho, you can just imagine, if they are able to make some kind of reversal in the upcoming legislative session, what does that mean for the Reproductive Rights Initiative. What does that mean in 2026? What does that mean for generations to come, when you could imagine one initiative after another that would improve the quality of life of people in Idaho, just as the initiatives have done, not just with Medicaid, but throughout our history. One thing we're doing right now with Reclaim Idaho is a series of events around the state where we're talking about the proud tradition of initiative rights in the state of Idaho, going back, of course, you know, not just this past decade, but all the way back to 1912, when the process was established by a popular vote. 72% of the people of Idaho voted to establish a constitutional amendment to create an initiative process. And since then, the initiative process has been used very responsibly in Idaho. And one after another, not very often, but one after another, the initiative process has led to major nonpartisan reforms that had broad support that improved the quality of life of people in the state of Idaho, starting in 1938 with the establishment of Fish and Game. A lot of people don't remember that that's only there because of the initiative process. The Sunshine Law that creates much more transparency in our elections. One of the most popular laws in Idaho is the homeowner's property tax exemption. That only exists because of the initiative. Regulation of dredge mining to help protect our rivers. That only exists because of the initiative. Protection of collective bargaining rights for teachers is through the referendum process, the kind of sibling of the initiative process. So if we lose this process, we lose one of our most cherished traditions. And make no mistake, it is under attack. Across the country, there were in-state legislatures. All across the country, there's a nationally coordinated effort to dismantle the initiative process. As we saw in Florida, we also saw with 150 different bills in 2025 alone. And in Idaho, we saw three major bills just in 2025 in the last session. One would try to create a 60% threshold, so you don't just have to get a majority, you have to get 60%. One tried to make it so that you have to collect signatures in every single legislative district, not just in about half of them. One gave the governor veto power over an initiative, so giving one elected official the power to overrule hundreds of thousands of voters. All of these proposals died in large part because of public outcry and because enough people got engaged. So that's what I'm here to do. That's what we're doing in events around the state between now and the start of the legislative session. In addition to other issues we're working on, we're really going around calling people to action, challenging people to get ready to speak up in defense of the initiative process during the 2026 legislative session. I'll share some good news, and you can find one of these sheets at our table, but we recently commissioned a poll of Idahoans, and we found that 80% believe the initiative process is extremely important, that it's extremely important that it stays in Idaho. 71% oppose the legislature's efforts to restrict the process. 74% say they'd be more likely to vote against any elected official who tried to restrict the process. So think about that. 80% say the process is extremely important. But here's something I want to leave you with, and I want to challenge you right now, if you can just think this, mull this over. Let me do a quick time check. I've been told with the evolving schedule that I have until 10:35. So, what I'd like to do in a moment is ask if anyone here wants to actually stand up and say why the initiative process is important to them and why they don't want to see it go away. And I want to do that because that's exactly what we're trying to do all over the state. And we want people to be prepared in 2026, because the main point I want to make is that you can do a public opinion poll and find that 80% think that the initiative process is extremely important. But what we know in politics is that statistics and polls only matter so much. What matters a lot more is personal stories. What matters a lot more is real people showing up and having the courage to actually say what they believe. And whether that be through testimony, and by the way, you don't have to be in Boise to testify. How many people have done remote testimony? Okay, so this is really important. If you're not familiar with this process, you can actually, ever since COVID, you know, one of the silver linings that came out of that dark era in our country and in our politics is that Idaho set up a pretty good system that allows you to call in over Zoom and actually show up on a screen in the middle of a committee hearing and testify, speak for 2 minutes about why you oppose a really bad bill, or every once in a blue moon, maybe even support a good bill, but mostly show up and say why you oppose a bad bill. And that's really important for them. So I was talking to some people from Potlatch earlier. There's people from all over North Idaho here. It's powerful if you show up and from North Idaho on testimony. So whether it's testifying remotely or in person, whether it's writing letters, whether it's making phone calls, whether it's writing a letter to the editor or an op-ed in a newspaper, speaking up, using your voice to defend the initiative process, that's what's going to enable us to protect it. And please don't be cynical about it, because I know with a lot of issues it can feel like we can't make a difference. But we know we can make a difference on this issue because we have made a difference. There have been one instance after another over the last 8 years where anti-initiative bills have died in the legislature because there was enough public opposition against them. There have been other instances where they've made it through, partly because there wasn't enough public opposition against them. So I just want everyone to know that if enough of us get involved, we can protect this process, we can protect this proud tradition that we have, and we can make sure it's there both for the 2026 election and for generations to come.
That was Luke Mayville of Reclaim Idaho, who helped spearhead 3 statewide initiative drives, including the successful 2018 Medicaid expansion initiative, which 61% of Idaho voters cast ballots for. KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox assisted with this story. Court records say Pullman resident Elijah Reagan set his apartment building on fire with a fireworks mortar Sunday and then drove away. Reagan made his initial court appearance in Whitman County Superior Court yesterday. The fireworks launcher apparently blew a hole in the roof of his Larry Street Northwest apartment in Pullman, setting the building on fire, causing extensive damage. Police arrested Reagan a few feet into Idaho near the junction of U.S. Highway 95 and U.S. Highway 195 at the top of the Lewiston grade. They had followed his vehicle traveling south on U.S. Highway 195 Sunday, and after he ran over spike strips, he continued driving south at 60 miles per hour. Police were then involved in an armed standoff in which police watched as Reagan allegedly smoked methamphetamines from a pipe and cigarettes while they watched through the window. They eventually made the arrest around 11 p.m. The Red Cross says it has provided housing for the people displaced by the Sunday fire.
Wyoming leads the nation on a list no one wants to be on. It has more gun suicides per capita among older adults than any other state. The Gun Violence Data Hub examined firearm suicide rates and found, across the country, they're the highest among people 70 years of age and older. Aaron Mendelson is a data journalist for The Trace and the Gun Violence Data Hub. He says there isn't just one reason behind this trend.
We're talking about factors like severe physical illness, pain, financial pressures, isolation, often the death of a spouse, a lack of mental health care, and the availability of firearms.
The study examined data from 2009 to 2023. It found Wyoming's rate of gun-related suicide is 29 per 100,000 population among older adults. Nevada and Montana's rates were second and third. Mendelson adds older people are more likely to use a gun to take their own lives, and this method is most prevalent among white men in rural areas. He says it may be happening more often in Western states because of what he calls a frontier or pick yourself up by your bootstraps attitude.
Maybe that serves people when they're younger, but that can be a really challenging mentality to take in the later life, especially as maybe your social circle is shrinking and if mental and physical health becomes more acute, your challenge is there.
He adds nationally, this age group's suicide rate has doubled in the last 20 years. Experts say the wide availability of guns also contributes to this quiet crisis that isn't being widely discussed. Mendelson hopes sharing this information will help change that.
So if we don't identify something as a problem, we can't begin to fix it. So I think it's important to talk about it.
If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. I'm Laura Hatch, Wyoming News Service.
Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, there'll be clear skies through tomorrow night with a low of 48 tonight, high 75 tomorrow, low 47 Thursday night, 30% chance of showers, mainly before noon on Friday, mostly sunny, high 72, 50% chance of showers Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 41. West winds 5 to 10, gusts up to 20, 50% chance of showers Saturday, mostly cloudy, high 56, 90% chance of showers Saturday night, low 37, and on Sunday, 70% chance of showers, snow level 4,500 feet, mostly cloudy, high around 50, currently 64 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ, there's a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robartis, Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Coming up next is Flashpoints, Lockdown Mosh Pit on at 7:30. At 8:30, music begins in earnest with Grateful Dead Through the Decades with Arlene. And at 10 o'clock, we'll have Bossa Brasil, a new show that we're bringing you Brazilian music Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., so stay tuned. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Tonight we hold an awesome party, sir.
One, two, three, four.
The KRFP 21st birthday party is coming up Saturday, October 11th. Live music from the pond, plus bad karaoke.
Make it bad.
Brother bought a coconut. He bought it for a dime.
Gotta go off key now.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Bring your most off-tune warble, your gruffest vocal fry, your favorite harmonized screams. They're all acceptable at KRFP's Bad Karaoke. That is, until someone pays $5 to make it stop.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, and the very next day, you gave it away.
This time it'll be at Shattuck West at 630 North Almond Street.
Bad karaoke night. Jolene, 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 ow!
Bad. Trump impersonation contest. Prizes to be announced.
Well, let's see how we say that.
21st birthday.
Starts at 7 p.m.
Saturday, October 11th.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Giant Palouse Earthworm, providing DIY music booking in Moscow and Pullman, focusing on extreme metal, punk, hardcore, and the avant-garde. Giant Palouse Earthworm is available on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors for helping make this programming possible.
KRFP, Moscow is the best in the USA.
Yeah.